Blog Talk Radio.
Black Friday is just a few days away. I'm sure many grandparents and parents and adults in general are already making their lists about what to buy when they hit the stores this weekend. Undoubtedly, some video games will be on that list, and there probably is some concern over whether or not they should purchase some of those games for some of the little ones in the household. Here to help us sort through all of that is Dr. Chris Ferguson, Associate Professor and Co-Chair of Stetson University's Psychology Department. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me on today.
No problem. So let's get right into this. You've studied this, and what has your research found when it comes to the impact of violent video games on youth aggression?
Sure, that's a great question. And certainly with the holidays approaching, I can imagine that's a question that's on the minds of lots of parents and grandparents that are buying presents. The good news, I guess, is that for the most part, the evidence from the studies that we've been conducting here at Stetson don't suggest that violent video games have much impact on the behavior of children. So if your concern is that buying a particular game is going to cause your kid to become a serial killer or something of that sort, there doesn't seem to be much evidence of that. And even if we're looking at relatively minor behaviors like bullying or just aggression around the family or things like that, we just don't see much evidence that the violent content of video games are increasing these types of issues. It's probably more the case that games are a lot like other types of activities, that if the game is frustrating, then sometimes people can become angry or can become a little frustrated with that, irritated. And the effects are really kind of similar to, we all know people that like play a game of cards or a game of checkers and throw the checkers across the room when they lose. And so we're really talking about issues that are very about that level of aggression is what we're talking about. And it seems to be that it's not really the violent content that makes people aggressive, but sometimes if a game, if they're just losing, if they become frustrated, that can do it. But that's true for all types of games, and it's nothing that's unique for violent games in particular.
Okay, that's always good to know. Now, I know a lot of parents, sometimes you just have this guilt over buying a game and whether or not they may have too many or the types of games they have. If you buy a violent video game for your child, are you a bad parent?
That's a great question. And first, it's important to point out that, I mean, the way that we use the term violent video game is so broad anyway that includes all games from Pac-Man to Grand Theft Auto. So we have to be a little bit cautious about what we're talking about. And I think what people are really concerned about are really these kind of like, very, very graphic shooter games like Call of Duty or Grand Theft Auto or things like that. It's certainly worth pointing out that these games are developed with adults in mind. They're rated M, which is the equivalent of an R-rated movie. So it certainly is fine for parents to take that into consideration. And if they have any, moral issues about their kids being exposed to that, as many parents do, then certainly they're free to restrict those types of games for moral reasons. In terms of feeling guilty of the idea, I think what a lot of parents worry about is if I buy this game, and maybe I want to buy this game for my child for whatever reason, am I going to harm my child? And the evidence is no. It's not actually going to be an issue of harming the child. It really comes down to what you're morally comfortable with. And really, each family is going to be different. What's right for one family is going to be very different from what's right for another family. And the ratings are there as a guide.
Ah, great point. You bring up the rating. So, with social media and all the stuff out there, clearly as parents, you want to know exactly what your child is getting into. But, short of actually playing the game yourself, and if you have tons of, stuff going on, you've got jobs, you've got to make sure the family's good, you don't have time to play all of these games. How do you know what the content is in the game?
Sure. Well, if you're looking at a game, if you're looking in the store trying to buy the actual game box there, or if you're online thinking about a game, they have the ratings right on the game. So the ones that most people want to watch out for are the ones that are rated M. Again, that's the equivalent of about an R-rated movie. So those are games that are designed for people 17 and above. Now, usually on the back of the box, they also will have content descriptors. So they'll tell you why it got rated M. So it might have like bloody, graphic violence, or it might have strong language or sexual themes or drug references or things like that. So just like with R-rated movies, not every R-rated movie is rated R for the same reason. Not every game is rated M for the same reason as well. So it can give you some sense of, perhaps you're like a lot of Americans, you don't really care about the violence, but you're worried about the sex. So it'll tell you exactly what's in the game, which is why a lot of people are okay with Call of Duty, but not so okay with Grand Theft Auto. So those content descriptors can be very helpful. There is a website. It's just esrb.com. Again, that's esrb.com. So that's where you can, again, look up ratings for games if you're thinking about a particular game and don't have the box in front of you. And you can also read game reviews. There's a website called GameStop. It's just GameStop.com. That has a lot of game reviews, and those game reviews can tell you a lot about what's in the content of the game. So they start talking about setting people on fire and cutting people's heads off. You can have a pretty good idea there's probably going to be a lot of violence in that in a particular game. So there are resources out there, and I think that's part of one of the things that really has made this video game debate go on as long as it has, is that a lot of parents and grandparents aren't aware of these resources, and they think that they're kind of helpless. And there's even studies that suggest that people tend to believe that video games are more harmful if they're not aware of the rating system, for instance. And so sometimes knowledge makes people feel a little bit better. And so being aware that these ratings are out there, where you can get access to them, I think can be very helpful for parents and grandparents.
So you've touched on it, but bottom line, I mean, there's still some major concern over whether or not there is some link between violence and video games and all of these mass shootings we seem to hear about. Is there a link?
Basically, no. The only reason that people believe that there was any kind of link between mass shootings and gaming or playing video games was something that's called, in psychology we call it confirmation bias, which means that people tended to pay attention to cases where mass shooters were gamers and ignore cases where mass shooters were not gamers. And that's that classic confirmation bias, you know, paying attention to evidence that supports our beliefs and ignoring evidence that doesn't. The reality is that the average age of a mass shooter is somewhere around age 40. So we kind of think of mass shooters as being these young guys, and some of them are young guys, but mass shooters are of all ages. So what you tend to see is that when a mass shooter is somewhere like around, you know, in their teens or 20s, people talk a lot about video games. And it happens to be that about 90 to 95% of men or boys in that age category play violent video games at least occasionally. So finding out that a mass shooter happened to also play violent video games is not terribly remarkable. And then what happens is when a mass shooter is 65 or so, just nobody mentions video games. And so we only really hear about the cases that fit the narrative, and we don't hear much about the cases that don't. But the funny thing is that even in some of the cases of some of the younger shooters, like the Sandy Hook shooting in 2012, Adam Lanza is a great example of this, people make a big fuss about video games, and then, like in his case, it turned out that the only game that the investigators could find that he was playing very regularly was Dance Dance Revolution. You know, people don't always hear about it when the case doesn't work out. So a lot of people still think that the Sandy Hook shooting was linked to violent video games. And it's probably true that he played some at some point in time, being a 20-year-old male. But he didn't seem to be particularly interested or particularly fascinated with violent video games. He really liked these more nonviolent games like Dance Dance Revolution. And I think they mentioned Super Mario Brothers was another game he played sometimes in the past as well.
Now, violence is only one concern for many people. What about how women are portrayed? Should we be concerned about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there certainly has been plenty of documentation, I think, at this point that, you know, women are underrepresented in video games as a whole, and that when they do show up, they tend to be sexualized and presented as minor characters or damsels in distress. And so particularly with certain genres of games, like shooter games, we don't see a lot of really strong female protagonists. And certainly from a moral standpoint, I think that is a problem. And speaking as someone who loves games himself, I'd love to see a lot more strong, you know, female, you know, protagonists. And I think this taps into issues of misogyny and sexism in just a larger community that we're facing in, you know, in politics, in business, and such. So it's a sign of a larger problem, I think, not something that's particularly unique to games. But I think, you know, talking about it in relation to games is one area where we can have a real serious conversation about sexism and misogyny in our culture, and look for ways to promote more positive representations of women in popular culture. I don't think it's an issue that, you know, these games or popular culture are causing misogyny or sexism, but I think it is a very visible avenue to talk about these issues, and I think if we can, you know, push for more positive representations in games, I think that's one part of a larger discussion about ending misogyny and ending sexism in our culture.
Now, there is some possible good news. I've heard about action-oriented games. Any benefits there?
Yeah, sure. Now it's funny because we hear a lot of research studies about, you know, action games promoting what's called visual spatial cognition. So these are certain types of attention and intellectual skills that are useful. Some people think even for careers like engineering and surgery and things like that. And it all involves being able to rotate, you know, objects in your mind and see a whole object, even if you can only actually visually see a piece of it and things like that. So certainly useful skills for certain types of careers or other life paths and such. So there seems to be some good evidence that these action games, as they call them, promote these types of skills. Now, the funny thing, of course, action game is the same thing as shooter, first-person violent video game. So it's kind of funny how, when we're talking about bad stuff, we talk about violent video games. When we talk about good stuff, suddenly the same games become action games, which sounds a lot less intimidating, more or less. But it tends to be these types of, particularly the Call of Duty, Medal of Honor games, these kind of war shooters, Halo as well, they get a lot of attention for promoting these types of intellectual, tasks. So I'm hesitant to say it's like a big deal. I don't want to say like your kid's going to become the next Einstein because he plays Call of Duty. But at least in a small way, it does seem to promote some of these tasks. There are some studies that suggest that surgeons are better at certain types of surgery if they play these types of shooter games. So it's an interesting field. And of course, there's evidence that games do reduce stress. So a lot of people do turn to games, if they've had a bad day. And for the most part, the evidence seems to suggest that's effective, that it doesn't really matter if it's a violent video game or a non-violent video game, that as long as the person likes the game, then it can be effective as a stress reduction technique. Now, if they don't like the game, it probably has the opposite effect. So it's a matter of matching the game to the individual to get that sort of response.
Perfect. Great stuff. Dr. Ferguson, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me on today. Always a pleasure.